These publicans were the men that extorted taxes from the Jews, and therefore they hated them for this reason, but also because most of these publicans were not honest. They were thieves. Created life from the world and from everybody else. They didn't want to mingle with publicans and sinners. Why, if they were seen with them and talking to them, why, they would get a blot on their character and on their name. No, they would never do anything like that. They shunned them. They never mingled with them. And then to see Jesus sitting with these publicans and sitting with these sinners and eating and drinking with them, so they couldn't fathom that at all. And they said to the disciples, how come that your master, he sitteth and he eateth with publicans and sinners? Why, my hearers, I'm so glad that I read this in the Bible, that Jesus sits with publicans and with sinners. Why, if Jesus didn't do this, my hearers, what will become of us? If he didn't yet today come amongst publicans and sinners and sit with them and give them to eat and to drink of that precious food, of that manna that he has with him, which he bestows upon his people, oh, whatever would become of poor sinners? And these Pharisees and these scribes, they looked down upon Christ because he was sitting there with these kind of people. It's the same way today yet. Have you seen any of the children of God mixed with sinful people, mixed with those who you wouldn't even want to associate with? You say, what are they doing there? What are they mingling with them kind of people for? They ain't the kind of people they should be with. But you don't know what they're amongst them for. You don't know why God brought them even in the midst of them kind of people. Even the people of God sometimes, they get a blot on their name because they mingle with such kind of people. Well, you know, they were one like that themselves one day. They know what they were. And they know the mighty power and the love of God. And therefore, they are constrained at times to speak to sinners, to publicans, in love and in affection, to draw them away from the world and from all what they think is so great and so pleasant. And now when they said this about Christ, the Lord Jesus heard them say this. And the Lord Jesus, he said unto these Pharisees and to these scribes, I say unto you, he says, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. These were the words that Christ speak unto these Pharisees and scribes. Why did he speak that way to them? Why, because they were the whole. They were righteous in themselves. They were holy and devout men. They added more laws to the laws of God than he had given them. And they lived so strict and so narrow and so exact. And they were so devout in this, that if anybody were going to heaven, they were. They were then righteous in themselves. They were those that needed no physician. They were whole. They were satisfied with themselves. That is why Christ said, the whole need not a physician. And now my hearers, this word whole is applicable to so many creatures in the days in which we live. Who are they that are whole? Oh, there are many, many people. They're good people. They live a good life. Their morals are good. They belong to a church. They give to the poor. And some of them even come to the Lord's table. And they do what is good. Nothing can be said about their outward life. And they're satisfied with themselves. Why, they say, I don't do anybody any harm. And God is merciful. He'll sure have mercy on me. And they're content. They think sure that they're going to go to heaven. They are whole in themselves, satisfied with what they did. They don't need no physician. They don't need Christ. They don't need his blood. They don't need his righteousness. How many others, my hearers, does this word whole apply to? Oh, there are many people that live in sin, wallow in sin, don't care about nothing. They're going to enjoy their life. They don't want to be stopped by anybody. They don't want to have anybody speak to them. They live for the flesh. They live for the world. They live for the lust of the eye, for the lust of the flesh, and for the pleasures of time and sense. And they're content to live this way. They're whole. They have no concern about their immortal souls. They aren't thinking about eternity, and they're not worrying about where they're going to spend eternity. Have I got such listening to me? No concern about your immortal soul. No need for Jesus. No need for his blood. No need for his righteousness. Oh, my hearer, if you are such a one, then what a dangerous position you are in. You know, you are like a person in a natural sense. A person that's living for the world. And suddenly that person, he has a pain. He has an ache. He has feelings which constrain him to go to a physician. He comes to the physician. The physician examines him, shakes his head. I can't do anything for you. The disease has gone so far, there ain't anything I could give you that could cure it. In a few days, few weeks, the patient dies. Such are you. You know not the disease that you have. You know not that you are sick. You have no need for Jesus, that wonderful physician. You're content. This disease, sin, is eating at the vitals of your soul. And if you go on in it, you most certainly will perish and end up in eternal death. They that are whole need not a physician. To whom do they apply to? Oh, there are so many religious people, my hearers, today. So many are born and brought up in the church. They're covenant children. They're catechized. They're instructed. They get to an age. They make confession of faith. And they're taught by their religion to act faith towards God, towards Christ, towards their neighbor, to live a Christian life. And they're taught if they do this, they're sure to go to heaven. All without Jesus, all without any need of him, all without any sickness being felt in their immortal souls. Oh, how many poor creatures are being deceived in this way. They're whole. They need not a physician. How many amongst my hearers are whole? Oh, what shall become of you? If you think, as I have been describing, that it will be well with you when you die, then you most certainly will be deceived for all eternity. It is only those that are sick that need a physician. You know, in a natural sense, if you're healthy and well, you ain't going to go to the doctor. You don't go to a physician. But if you are sick, take a person that gets sick. Some have TB, some have consumption, some have cancer, some have leukemia, dreadful diseases. They rage amongst mankind. And when they get such a disease like that, they want to get to the best doctor that they know. They would like to consult a physician that had some experience in those diseases in treating them. And as such people, they need a physician. They're sick. They have an ailment that no physician can cure. Death is going to come in and take their lives away. These people are sick, naturally. You know, there are many people that imagine that they're sick. Or the imagination of men and women run away with them sometimes. Some people have an ache here, they have a pain there, and right away they run to a doctor. Some people, they're chronically ill. They spend all their money on physicians because they think they have something. And every other week they got to go to the doctor, and every other week this doctor, he keeps them coming. He's bleeding them for everything that he can get out of them, and he gives them all kinds of medicine. But now, a person that is truly sick, a person that has been brought by his sickness to death's door, that person needs a physician. And now this is the way it goes by hearing spiritually. The Lord Jesus says, they that are sick, they need a physician. And now who are they that are sick? I've been giving you a little description of them that are whole. Who are they that are sick? I wonder if I have any listening to me that are sick. Who are they that are sick? They that are wrought upon by the Spirit of God. They that are convicted of their sins. They that have been given to see their life in the mirror of God's holy law and the curses of that law that they deserve. The sentence of death is what they are under, and they fall under it. They deserve death. They deserve eternal death. So this is what they feel that they have done against God, and what they merit. So they then are poor creatures, burdened with sin and burdened with guilt and burdened with iniquity. Now they have had the sentence come home to their hearts, and they have been constrained to go alone, to get on their knees, and to cry out to God, have mercy on me, a sinner. All my hearers, I wonder how many I have amongst me that have been given to do this. Now, there are many reasons why people are brought upon their knees and brought to seek God. As I said, the fear of death, the fear of punishment drives people to God. But if ever in your life you have had by his blessed Spirit a sight of his love, a sight of his pity, of his compassion, of his mercy towards you, and that you are still alive, and that he has not cast you into hell, which you so justly deserve, and then you have been constrained with a broken heart and a contrite spirit to fall down before him, and you have wept in the bitterness of your soul that you have sinned against such a good God, such a merciful God, such a long-suffering God. How many have had that? How many have been melted into contrition at the feet of God, who have justified God in their own damnation, and who say, Lord, if you send me to hell, you're right, you're just, that's what I merit, I can't merit anything else. But in that they have wept and sighed and groaned and cried to God for mercy. Here we have a sin-sick soul. And what does that sin-sick soul do now? Why, they immediately try to reform themselves. They immediately try to make it good with God. Or they set to work to obey the law. They set to work to live a religious life. Or they begin to live a praying life. Or they begin to cry and to weep unto God for mercy. All my hearers, that they find that those sins that they were so accustomed to and which they reveled in, that they find that they're given power to overcome them. And all they seem to be going ahead. They seem to be going towards heaven. And now what happens? I'll tell you what happens. It happened to me. That's why I can teach you this. All those sins that you thought you had buried and that you had overcome and you thought you never were going to do anymore and you promised God you wouldn't do them anymore. You made so many resolutions you wouldn't do them anymore. What happened? Why, they became so strong. And you went and you sinned again. And you sinned again. You fell headlong into it. And what did that do to you? Oh, that made you say, I couldn't be one of God's children. It's impossible. Would I act the way I am? Would I do the way I am? And it brought you almost to despair. It brought you so low that there wasn't any hope for you. And now you know, the apostle says, He is our hope. And now you had hope of reforming yourself, hope of making yourself better, hope of getting on the side of God, but now your hope is gone. And now, this precious Jesus, who sits down with publicans and sinners, oh, he is our hope, the apostle says. Oh, my hearers, when God strips you, when he empties you, when he brings you down into the dust before him, guilty, wretched, undone, no more hope, then there's a place for Jesus. Then this wonderful Savior, he appears and he comes. He sits with publicans and with sinners. Oh, he speaks to such creatures that don't know where to go anymore with themselves. And he turns them unto them. He says, Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Oh, he comes with such wonderful words sometimes. He constrains the soul to go to him. Now, this is the object of this work that has been going on in this person. This is this sin-sick soul being drawn to this Savior. For you need him now. You need him because you have a wound that no physician can cure or heal here below. It's a wound that he has made, and it's a wound that he can heal. He has a balm. He has a cure for everything that you feel within. And all I can recommend this precious Jesus to you, my hearers, for he is a compassionate, he is a merciful, and he is a kind, and he is such a good physician. How could I entreat every one of you that are listening to me to come to him? Maybe you say, oh, he won't receive me. Such a creature like me. I went over the top of everything, and I've done everything that's wrong. He'll never accept me. He's going to spurn me from his presence. Look at him here. He's sitting amongst publicans and sinners. Did he turn him away from him? Believe me, Saul, he'll never turn you away. But this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. Hasn't he ever done it to you? Can you say he never said anything to you? He never encouraged you in all your sin, in all your trouble, in all your guilt? He never spoke anything to you? This physician never brought you to himself with a hope that someday you will be delivered from your burden, that someday he will speak pardon to your soul, someday you will be given to be with him where you'll never sin anymore. Oh, then you will be cured from sin forever and ever. Isn't this what you're looking for? Isn't this what you're longing after? Oh, how few understand what I'm speaking about. How few need this physician. How few. There are so many that are whole amongst my hearers. Sad to say. Oh, if every heart here were bleeding, if every heart here were throbbing, to be cured, to be healed, I think these prayers would be going up. Heal me, Lord, and I shall be healed. Oh, save me, Lord, and I will be saved. Is that your prayer? You think he'll spurn it away? You think he'll ever answer it? Oh, my hearers, he never indicted a prayer like that in a sinner's heart, or he will answer it. There's a day coming when he will come to you and reveal himself unto you and give unto you to believe that he is your physician, that he is your Savior, that he is your Emmanuel. Oh, may that day soon come, you say. May I find him to the joy, to the happiness of my soul. I hope I find him too, my hearers. For this is our anxious longing and desire, to be found in him, to be saved with an everlasting salvation. Our time is gone. Next week, we will continue with the next lesson. The Lord bless the feeble lesson this day to your hearts. That's all.